Even in the middle of pain, we spend a lot of time focusing on what we think God is not doing. And our pain blinds us from what God is doing. So I don't have a husband yet, but God has been transforming my faith and character while I've been waiting. He has not opened this door yet, but he's been perfecting my prayer life while I've been waiting. He has not answered this prayer yet, but he's been strengthening my faith while I've been waiting. And so often while we think God is not working, we are completely blind to what he is doing. This could be translated like, my son, my daughter, I am not taking you out of this circumstance yet. I'm using this circumstance to work something in you.
Made the heavens and the earth. No grass or plants were growing anywhere. God had not yet sent any rain, and there was no one to work the land. But streams came up from the ground and watered the earth. The Lord God took some soil from the ground and made a man. God breathed life into the man, and the man started breathing. The Lord made a garden in a place called Eden, which was in the east, and he put the man there. The Lord God filled the garden with all kinds of beautiful trees and fruit trees. Two other trees were in the middle of the garden. One of these gave life. The other gave the wisdom to know the difference between right and wrong. From Eden, a river flowed out to water the garden. Then it divided into four rivers. The first one is the Pishon River that flows through the land of Havilah, where pure gold, rare perfumes, and precious stones are found. The second is the Gihon River that winds through Ethiopia. The Tigris River that flows east of Assyria is the third, and the fourth is the Euphrates River. The Lord God put the man in the Garden of Eden to take care of it and to look after it. But the Lord told him, "You may eat fruit from any tree in the garden, except the one that has the power to let you know the difference between right and wrong. If you eat any fruit from that tree, you will die before the day is over." The Lord God said, "It isn't good for the man to live alone. I will make a suitable partner for him." So the Lord took some soil and made animals and birds. He brought them to the man to see what names he would give each of them. Then the man named the tame animals and the birds and the wild animals. That's how they got their names. None of these was the right kind of partner for the man. So the Lord God made him fall into a deep sleep, and he took out one of the man's ribs. Then after closing the man's side, the Lord made a woman out of the rib. The Lord God brought her to the man, and the man exclaimed, "Here is someone like me. She is part of my body, my own flesh and bones. She came from me, a man. So I will name her woman." That's why a man will leave his own father and mother. He marries a woman, and the two of them become like one person. Although the man and his wife were both naked, they were not ashamed.
Yo, welcome to the show, everyone. Welcome to the Twisted Youngin' Show. We just want to thank everybody for pressing play on the video. We thank you for your support. All praise and glory goes to the Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we hope everyone is staying safe, staying out the way. And if you aren't in the Word, it's time you get in the Word and start reading the Bible. And if you would like to make a donation, small, medium, or big, the Cash App is located at the bottom of the screen. It's because of the Lord's grace and mercy, and because you all support that we are allowed to, well, continue to do these shows. And thank you all for your comments. We see them. And if you all have a topic or, you know, like to be a guest host or a part of the show, drop a comment and send us an email. We'll check it out. That's how we feeling today.
Feeling all right. I'm blessed. Blessed to be back doing the podcast. Be back talking with you guys. I pray that everybody is safe. I pray that everybody is drawing closer to God, and they're in their scriptures, and they're going to church. You know, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together with others. I know the world wants to pull you out of the church. That's because the devil want to have a better, wants to be on better ground with you. He don't want you to allow to, you know, iron sharpen iron. You talk to other Christians and you guys are able to help each other on this walk. So I ask that you guys get into church. I found a new church called True Life that, Lord willing, I'm going to join and be a member of. And, you know, just instead of just bouncing around, you want to just have some roots in one place, you know. So that's what I want to do. I'm thankful that me and my sister was able to go visit our mother and our family over, what was it, like last week? It was a couple weeks ago. Yeah. But, you know, we still haven't did a podcast. But, yeah, I'm just thankful for that. Thankful that my mother is still healthy. And my nieces and nephews are healthy, and God is keeping a hedge of protection around them. And that's something that I know Nisha prayed for, and I pray for as well. And also our lives. My wife is she's doing better, Lord willing. She has rheumatoid arthritis, so she's like bedridden. So I have to do a lot of things for her, but you know, it's a blessing to be able to do those things. You know, it's a blessing to wake up and go to work and to be, you know, talking to you guys and
have a warm bed, a warm meal.
Yeah, and having, you know, this Christian podcast where we're able to spread the word on it. It's an honor to do this as well. Also, I've been reaching out to other members to start a band. You know, Desi Dez is going to be in a band.
We also had our first annual Christian, our first annual Christian music showcase, which did really well. Thank the Lord for that. Yeah. And
great turnout. It was a great turnout.
Yeah, it was a good time. We had a great host. It was Christian music. We had poets, rappers.
Nisha gave her testimony.
Myra gave her testimony.
Yeah, Myra.
And Dez gave his testimony. Yeah. And so the Lord grace and mercy, we'll be able to put that up for you all. You all will be able to see a recap of it, a highlight of it. But it was really great. So we're gonna look into like doing more of these events, like having headliners, and like Dez is saying, he's getting a band together, and just to put on a great live, holy filled show for you all. And
Hopefully we will be coming to a city near you.
Exactly. As well. Exactly.
We just want to be found working.
All right. Guys, as we do know, during this time, it's always we always say pay attention to what's going on in the world. And if you aren't, I guess that's what I'm going to do for you all. I have put together, what Dez and I have put together, a great show. And I want to start off talking about this digital stuff that's going on. So, in regards to the digital ID, we have a couple updates of what's going on. And Dez, feel free to stop me anytime to intervene. Okay, so Ghana is negotiating to make credit for car loans available through a digital ID card. So in Ghana, it may soon be commonplace to secure a car on hire purchase by presenting one's biometric national ID to a car vendor. Now negotiations in this regard are underway between state and authorities and some automobile companies to make this happen. They said all they will need at the point of transaction will be your Ghana card, and they will give you a car. Then you pay over time. He said, as he quoted, the system will be piloted by Solar Taxi, a riding hailing platform which also sells electric vehicles manufactured by XPeng. Now, I looked up XPeng, and that is a manufacturer from China. So, right.
You only can imagine that the Chinese will have some, like, they'll be able to tap into their look. That you said is payment, right?
Yeah, over time. But everything can be done through your digital ID.
Yeah, see, the Chinese are they're probably giving Ghana this type of technology to be able to do these things. And they probably got a back door that's open. So, you know, they can be able to, you know, probably watch over what they, because I'm pretty sure they invest into Ghana.
And China has its hands in everything around the world.
It's all about control.
To,
it's the beast system. Mm-hmm. Even though you're in Africa and you probably barely, you know, able, you know, you, there's some people that's really living good in Africa. Don't get me wrong. But for us, the people that are not living good, if we do it through the digital means, I'm still able to control you, you know, digitally. I'm able to control you from, you know, using the money you use. That's a control system. So they just trying to make sure that Africa will fall in line under the control system in the last days as well. Like, well, we already know about the mark of the beast. You know, I'm, matter of fact, I want to read that real quick.
Okay, before you read the market, I got another digital ID one too. All right. So, yeah, I actually got, so yeah, we'll do that. Now, Swiss Indonesian governments take contrasting approaches to digital ID. Now, government authorities in Switzerland and Indonesia have introduced legislation aimed at establishing digital ID programs with somewhat contrasting approaches. Now, Switzerland's executive government proposes to establish a digital ID that will be entirely state run after what the Federal Council described as an exhaustive consultation process. The move comes 3 years after a referendum on a previously proposed the EID Act that was rejected by voters, with polling suggesting that Swiss citizens were concerned about data security and the idea of involving private companies in the scheme. Now, the newly proposed EID will be voluntary and free of charge and smartphone-based, with an enrollment system that will compare end-user selfie photos to images of their physical ID. Now, authorities plan to launch it in 2026. They quote-unquote say, "We will do everything we can to protect EID," said the Justice Minister. While Federal Office of Justice Director Michael emphasized that private companies no longer play a role in issuing the EID. Now, they say, "We have created a so-called digital ID that will circulate in cyberspace in accordance with the personal data protection law." So I'll just stop right there. And before Des read, I have two more updates in regards to digital ID. Now, the TSA adds support for Colorado digital IDs on Android smartphones at Denver International Airport. Now, residents of the U.S. state of Colorado traveling through Denver International Airport can now verify their identity at a Transportation Security Administration, the TSA, checkpoint using a state-issued digital driver's license or identity card stored in Google Wallet on their Android smartphone. Now, the TSA has added support for Colorado digital IDs on Android devices at the airport after enabling residents to use digital IDs stored in Apple Wallet when the state began issuing mobile driver's license and state ID for Apple users in November 22. Mimos to receive the RM80 million to expedite digital ID program. So, the government has come to a decision to appoint the National Research and Development, the RAD Century, the MIMOS Berhad, as the implementing agency for the National Digital ID Program, and will be providing them with an allocation of RM80 million to carry this out. So, the Prime Minister said that the Minister of Finance would channel the allocation of MIMOS next week. In the meantime, the Ministry of Home Affairs will be expediting the implementation of the program. He said, "I have decided that MIMOS will manage the digital ID for Malaysia. This is an urgent need, and there is an allocation for the purpose of digital ID approved by the KDN. I have also received assurance that it can be expedited within 3 months from now." So, I'm not going to go on with that article. I just want you all to kind of get an idea of what's going on global when it comes to digital. So now we got WorldCoin. Now, WorldCoin aims to set up global ID network ACAN to India's AHADR. Now, WorldCoin, now in London, WorldCoin, the cryptocurrency project set up by OpenAI CEO Sam Altman, aims to establish a global ID network akin to India's Aadhaar biometric ID system. So basically, he's just setting up a comparable ID system to what India already have, which is a biometric ID system. More than 2.4 million people have signed up to have their irises scanned by WorldCoin's Orb devices in exchange for a digital ID and free cryptocurrency. Now, of course, people were afraid that their information would be misused, but they said a really good analogy for the type of impact something like WorldCoin can have is that the Aadhaar project in India, SADA, the company's head of products, said that it'll be good for the country, for the people.
For for the digital currency.
You know that there's about to be a floating AI platform in the ocean with over 10,000 NVIDIA GPUs that could be considered a sovereign nation?
Meet the Blue Sea Frontier Compute Cluster, a concept proposed by a company named AR Corp. The goal is a massive floating computer that can sit in international waters, move anywhere in the world, and will be used to deploy the next generation of large-scale AI models, free from government regulation. The call comes from the Biden administration's recent AI executive order and the EU's AI Act, aimed at centralizing AI control under the guise of safety. The compute cluster will be equipped with over 10,000 NVIDIA H100 GPUs per platform, cooled by using deep sea currents, and powered by both solar and steam and gas turbines. The complex will come equipped with its own nation-state military force, as well as defenses such as electronic jamming equipment, optical and thermal camouflage, and aerial surveillance. So, what's your...
But they making everybody turn in their fucking vests. We gotta turn in our badges. They fire everybody, bro. This shit is crazy.
Ned Ryan reacts.
I've just gone through a change from 30 to 40 miles an hour on the speed limit, and that's shown on the dashboard. Happened almost immediately. So actually, if I push on the accelerator pedal, it won't go any faster than 40 miles an hour. My speed limit is limited to 40.
Now, what you just saw is already a reality in some European cars and will be in all new European cars starting in 2024.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah!
Credit card debt, you are not alone. America's credit card limit just blew past $1 trillion for the first time ever.
I do think something has to give, right?
Jacob! Drivers are honking mad over a new proposal that would charge drivers for using freeways. Not just the express lane, but all lanes. The Metropolitan Transportation Commission, the MTC, is shopping the idea around of a small fee per mile for drivers. That fee would range from 10 to 30 cents, and that has a lot of drivers saying.
And so it begins. New York City will be the first city in America to charge Americans just to go to work in the morning.
Very first state in the nation, the very first city in America, to have a congestion pricing plan.
Americans will have to pay around $23 per day.
Passenger vehicles would be charged $15 to enter the congestion zone, trucks between $24 and $36 depending on size, and motorcycles $7.50. Those tolls would be charged once per day and would be in effect between 5 a.m. and 9 p.m. on weekdays and 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on weekends. Fees.
The proposal aims to reduce traffic congestion, but people are mad because the city eliminated working from home that actually reduced traffic while saving gas money and reducing greenhouse emissions. But what do you think about this new bill? Is it going to help the environment or hurt the pockets of New Yorkers? And which city is next? The board has two meetings before the end of 2023 on December 6 and December 20. So if you think the...
So you want to charge your car, huh? Well... Don't come here. You'll be here till 3 o'clock in the morning. And that's just the cars that are getting charged. And this is the line of the cars wanting to get charged. And this is the great hoax to get rid of gasoline so that you can go sit in a line and plug your car in. This isn't a joke. This is the real thing. It's 11:15 at night. And these are the people who probably, I guess, can't get home.
He silently asks the computer, and then hears the answer through vibrations transmitted through his skull and into his inner ear.
What's the largest city in Bulgaria, and what is the population?
The screen shows how long it takes the computer to read the words that he's saying to himself.
Sofia, 1.1 million?
That is correct. You just Googled that.
I did.
You could be an expert in any subject.
Mm-hmm.
You have the entire internet in your head.
That's the idea.
Brendan Carr is calling the Biden administration's digital equality plan for all internet services and infrastructure an awful power grab. He said, President Biden's plan hands the administrative state effective control of all internet services and infrastructure in the country. Never before in the roughly 40-year history of the public internet has the FCC, or any federal agency for that matter, claimed this degree of control over it. Indeed, President Biden's plan calls for the FCC to apply a far-reaching set of government controls that the agency has not applied to any technology in the modern era. Carr previewed an important FCC vote about whether to implement the president's plan. Carr explained that the Biden administration's broadband policies are failing, and the costs of building internet infrastructure in this country have skyrocketed due to his economic policies. The commissioner said President Joe Biden has chosen to blame the private sector and free market capitalism itself for the administration's own policy shortfalls. Carr went on to say the Biden administration's plan empowers the FCC to regulate every aspect of the internet sector for the first time ever, saying the plan is motivated by ideology of government control that is not compatible with fundamental precepts of free market capitalism.
No degree? No problem. Major companies including Bank of America, Dell, they've ditched requiring a college education for workers. That trend only expected to grow.
Nearly half of companies recently surveyed plan to drop bachelor's degrees as a requirement in the coming year. Joining us to discuss, Ramsey Solutions member and host of the Ken Coleman Show, Ken Coleman. Ken, I actually have been calling for this for years, that a college degree is one of the greatest cons sold to families in this country over the last 20 years as costs just skyrocketed.
Yeah, you have, and I applaud you for that. And it's really becoming obvious now because companies are actually proving it out to say, you know what? They're not preparing kids. Higher education isn't keeping up with the demands of the business world. There's a big disconnect there. And this is a storm, as you have said, that has really been on the horizon for a long time, and now it's coming. And this makes a lot of sense, not just because these kids aren't qualified coming out of school. It's also because companies see the gap in the workforce and they actually need to open up the field of candidates, and they realize, I'm going to have to train a kid coming out of college? Well, then why not train somebody who's been in the workforce, who doesn't have the shiny degree, but is willing to work? And
I'm pretty sure they're offering him something good for it. Yeah. All they care about is a line in their pockets, so They'll get their pass off the market of beasts.
Right, and it's happening like global, like everywhere. Everybody's like starting to get those.
Because even the poor countries, they have to do that, because that's the only way we can have a one world government. That the poor countries, we got to be able to get a mark to them as well. And how can we force you to get the mark if you're able to buy food with money?
Exactly.
Or exchange cows. I'm pretty sure even the people that exchange cows for certain goods, that they, you can't do that no more. We're going to pass a law. You can't do that no more. Now you have to, you got to be digital money now to exchange your cows.
Yeah. They want it to come directly from your profile, from your biometric ID.
Because we want to be able to track you.
Yeah. That's what it's going to be connected to.
Yeah. We got Revelations 13 verses 15 to 17. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast. Now, the image of the beast, we had an article, I think it was some time back. It was about statues that they will be bringing to 21 cities. And we believe that that is the image of the beast. It will be able to change into different idols. Like, you know, they're idols. Different celebrities or whatever. And they'll be able to sing and dance. So it comes off as harmless.
And change into anyone's face.
Yeah, anyone's face.
The languages.
Yeah, and he granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, you know, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as will not worship the image of the beast to be who would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So we know that it would be people there, and maybe it's some the people that would be there to make sure you worship the image of the beast are the people that's coming across the border. We know that some of them are what is it, what is they call the military, the world military,
the Border Patrol agents?
Not, but no, some of the people that came over are being paid by
the UN.
The UN, yeah, mm-hmm. UN members, but UN army or whatever. And you know, some of them maybe they will, because I think they're about to pass a bill, or is a guy that introduced in Congress that some of the people that's come across the border can join the military, because they need, they're trying to recruit more people, but you know, people,
because they say Americans can't pass the test and we're not really in shape, so they say let's give these immigrants a chance if they
but can. We see some of them are being paid by the UN, so these are UN people, military, that maybe these guys will be making sure that you're worshiping the image of the beast, and if not, we got something for you.
So like they're all a part of one group anyway, but they're just being divided into different parts of the world.
Amen. Yeah. He calls us all, both small and great, rich and poor. See the poor people. You see I'm not saying everybody in Ghana or you know the African countries or all around the world, wherever the poor people at, he's calling them as well. Not just the rich. All small and great. So people with stature, people with a name, and people that don't got a name, like me and you, average people. Rich and poor. We not poor. We got a house we're in right now. We have a couch. We got a bed. We got food in our refrigerator. So, you know, we're not poor. There's some people that don't even have that, that's out there sleeping on the grounds. Those are the people who are poor. So he's calling them as well. So I'm pretty sure they would want some money. And they accept any way, any form, the money gonna come. Okay, the money gonna come on the court.
Yeah.
Okay. Rich and poor, free and slave. So people that slaves, they still gonna have to submit to receive a mark on their right hand, on their forehead, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So nobody will be able to buy or sell. You won't be able to eat. You're gonna starve. It's poor people out there, yeah, but they still eating some food. They still gotta eat some food. You know, you ain't gonna be poor for years and you ain't eat no food. No, you gonna be poor for a short amount of time, but you still gotta put something in your belly. So if you're gonna go to the store to put something in your belly, you're gonna have to have the mark. You're gonna have to be in the digital system.
Right. So perfect, Des. So what I don't think a lot of individuals still quite understand what the digital system is gonna be. So we're going to have smart cities. So smart cities. So a smart city is a city which a suite of sensors, typically hundreds or thousands, is deployed to collect electronic data from and about people and infrastructure so as to improve efficiency and quality of life. Residents and city workers in turn may be provided with apps that allow them to access city services, receive and issue reports of outages, accidents, and crimes, pay taxes, fees, and the like. Now, in the smart city, energy, efficiency, and sustainability are emphasized. Also, you have smart transportation. A variety of smart transportation systems can be implemented in a smart city. For example, smart cities may implement a smart traffic flow management system, which can combine a central control system with controls for traffic lights and sensors for detecting delays or the amount of traffic at a particular intersection. The control system can adjust the timing of the lights based on the amount of traffic and how well the traffic is flowing. Now, some systems, for example, buses or emergency vehicles as well. For others, some systems may monitor conditions. Now, smart toll roads. Smart toll roads may also be provisioned. For example, sensors may be installed that detect when a car passes a toll plaza and deduct the toll from a user account. In addition, a variable...
That happens when you got some... you're connected biometrically.
Yeah.
Digitally. When your car is registered to your name and your name is... and your car is registered to your banking account. So they're going to dock you. So that's probably... don't let nobody else drive your car, because if they roll past something, you're going to be the one docked.
It's a, in addition, a variable toll may be assessed based on traffic conditions. For example, express toll lanes may be implemented that monitor traffic and charges a greater amount based on the amount of usage of the lane. In addition, cities or parts of cities may be provided with a smart parking meter network. Now, parking meters may, for example, be equipped with sensors or other monitors that communicate with a central server and a user app to advise when a parking spot is available and will guide a driver to it. Now, such meters may be able to automatically charge a parker for using the spot and advise the user and potentially law enforcement when the meter time has expired. A more complicated new technology being proposed for smart cities is autonomous driverless vehicles. In addition to user-owned and operated vehicles, the use of electric autonomous vehicles in a rideshare system has been proposed. Such autonomous vehicles could communicate with one another to execute maneuvers such as lane changes more rapidly and in a smaller space. In particular, vehicles could be platooned, driving much closer together in coordination and driven much closer together in coordination than it is possible with human drivers. In proposals in which the vehicles are electric vehicles, wireless charging stations could be provided on roadways. When a vehicle stops at a stoplight, for example, it could pick up a bit of a charge. Lastly, we have smart energy. The goal of any electric grid is to provide enough power when needed with efficiency and minimize downtime and damage when faults occur. One method for dealing with this is through the use of smart meters, which are digital. Now, electric meters can be used to replace the old mechanical meters that require personnel to read the meter once a month. They can provide more timely monitoring of a particular customer's usage and communicate wirelessly so that no one needs to enter a backyard. Smart meters may also allow the utility to identify a source of a power outage or more. In addition, control of the house's electricity can be handled easily from a centralized location without requiring a utility crew to go out to turn it on or off. Smart meters can also allow for differential rate provisioning. And
you don't take the mark, you won't be able to have no heat either. your electric will be off because they'll know where you stay at. They know your house. They know your car. All of it's linked together. They're going to link it together first. All this stuff is going to be linked together first. Then we're going to introduce the mark. Because now we got you grabbed. We got you by the gonad. We got you.
Exactly.
Now we're going to introduce the mark. You don't take the mark. Okay, everything we know about you that we already got, all the information we have on you, where you live, what kind of car you drive, your banking account, the job you got, everything we have on you. Now we can take it away, and we know that it's really going to be gone away. The cops can come here, clean your house out.
There you go.
Be over here on guard, making sure you don't drive back to the house. That's why a lot of people at those times, if you don't go up in the rapture, you got to flee to the wilderness.
Now we got Smart Cities Connect 23. Smart streetlights provide IoT entry point. Now, smart city projects in Memphis, Tennessee, and in Philadelphia demonstrate the potential of smart streetlights, not just for illuminating neighborhoods, but also for collecting data that can improve the lives of citizens in other areas. Now, this is what they say. They say, quote unquote, "We make a street light a smart asset once we layer advanced technology on top of it, providing intelligence on what is happening with the light itself, but also about the surrounding environment as well." So a lot of times we read this article, you just got to dig into it, but they put what they really want in there. They say, so the city gains insight into the condition of the actual light in Poland, also can use the network node to gather intelligence. Now, I'm not going to read the whole article, but yeah, they want to introduce smart lights. And they already said in Memphis and in Philadelphia. So now we also have...
don't we got a clip about the lights? You know how the kid was when they turned those certain lights on?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We do have a clip.
I'm pretty sure the lights that they got is going to affect you in a different way.
Yes. Oh, yeah. They're going to be able to collect... They want to collect intelligence about that. Also, in Barcelona, Spain, they are also having the third edition of a Smart City Expo. Now, I'm not going to read the article, but the theme for Barcelona is a world of data connecting people, elevating lives. They say Now, this smart city panel will claim the fundamental role of data, connectivity, technology in building smarter, more sustainable, and livable cities for their citizens, with an emphasis on the transformative potential of cutting-edge technologies. Now, this was a two-day event with 70 speakers, and this was out in Barcelona. You got something? Moving? Okay. Because I just got smart stuff.
St. Louis might take in migrants from Chicago in a bid to boost workforce. We need a lot of jobs. There's a lot of people that need jobs out here. So you bringing in migrants to boost workforce? I don't think so. It's just you guys are spread them out. You know, these are UN military, and some of them may be workers, and some of them, you know, or not. But to boost the workforce, there's a lot of people that need jobs. There's a lot of people looking. But I do feel like, you know, some of them will get a job. You know, because there's a lot of brothers out here that just don't want to work. They want to make excuses.
But that's just, that's another marketing ploy, what they're using to put these immigrants in the city. They're saying, oh, the immigrants are only coming to the city just because we need people to work. No, that's not entirely true.
Just spreading them out.
Yeah.
That's all. And also, what did I want to say? They're going to bring them to the black neighborhood. Already in Chicago, they bring them to the black neighborhood.
All, in all the neighborhoods.
Yeah. Oh.
It's people.
They going to every neighborhood?
Yeah, they're going to put them in all the neighborhoods. I think
the
we had a clip.
Let them come in there? I thought they was
maybe,
protesting.
Maybe not. Yeah, right, they are protesting. They're protesting, but I'm just saying, they're trying to put it in all neighborhoods. Okay. You know, they want everybody to be on the same page.
Pentagon official from Georgia arrested in an undercover human trafficking sting.
And we do have a clip for this, you all better check this out.
And that's a Pentagon official was into human trafficking. So that's what they do. You know, these people are corrupt. FBI agent Ted Gruesome, FEMA smart guillotines placed in FEMA internment camps in case of martial law in times of civil disorder. Why would they have guillotines? You know, the government bought 30,000 guillotines. Why do they have guillotines that's going to be placed in these FEMA camps in case of martial law? Why? Because I just read for you the mark of the beast. If you they're going to get you at these camps, you know, after the rapture or whatever, they're going to be asking you about, you know, are you willing to take the mark? Okay, they're going to take you to the FEMA camps, and they're going to probably ask you again. If you ain't willing to take it, okay, then we're going to cut your head. They got the guillotines for you.
Also,
and they got the coffins. We're going to be able to add it in this video, but it's coffins that these farmers back in, I think in the 1997 or the 2000s, early 2000s, we were seeing where he was a farmer, his whole land was filled with coffins, you know.
That's ridiculous.
500 some thousand coffins, and he was just one farmer.
That's ridiculous.
You know, and stacked up to the high, big old ones, you know. So you have,
and didn't they have it in Australia too?
Maybe
like,
I don't know.
Well, I don't know about the coffins, but like some type of camps, like when COVID was, they were going by telling people, oh, don't come out, don't do this.
And
like
the ones that did.
Yeah. China had the camps as well.
Let's go to these camps.
And then New York passed a law in regards to like the quarantine camps that you can be put in, that they can just come into your
just
house.
Come get you.
Yeah, come and get you.
Yeah. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to use it. You think they're passing law just to be passing it? And New York is the first one to do it, but the other states are going to follow through. What are you going to do about it? You're not going to do nothing about it. You're not going to protest about it. You're not going to write and try to, you know, get people to go vote or something. No, these people are passing laws for the devil. The Bible is being revealed before you, but all they do is do these incremental little small steps, and you're going to go by your day, going go to work, because you're stuck in the pressures of life, you know. And really, if I was you, what we're trying to get people to do is focus in on God. We're revealing this stuff to you, or showing you this stuff, so you can focus in on the Lord. Now, the Lord will protect and keep you. Won't no harm come to you if you're with Christ. But even if you say you lose your life, you know, to live in Christ, to die is gain. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So that's not a problem. Just be found working. Just be found trying to give somebody the gospel. Trying to tell somebody about what Jesus did on the cross. You know what I'm saying? That is what we're trying to do. You know, and we just continue to go. Let me. Did I do this? House Representative introduced a bill to expel Palestinians from the country. They want to get rid of the Palestinians because of the Israel war. You know, they can't trust these people up here now. I know we over there doing to y'all. Man. We can't trust you.
And it's horrible.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Keep an eye on y'all because we over here doing something.
And Huawei strengthens its position on fully enabling Thailand to become a smart city, showcasing various innovations and cutting-edge technology. Now, notice, all these articles I'm reading all over sound the exact same. Showcasing various innovations and cutting-edge technology and partnering up with a digital economy promotion agency to set up a special Thailand Smart City Expo seminar, accelerating digital transformation for the cities in Thailand. Now, Mr. David Lee, the CEO of Huawei Technologies Thailand, outlined Huawei's commitment for the Smart City Initiative. Smart cities is a featured, he says, quote unquote, smart city is featured as human-oriented, technology-driven, value-sharing society that realizes the well-being of individuals, including safety, education, health, wealth, symbiosis, etc. As a result, enabling digital transformation is regarded as an important approach of is an important approach for transforming any city into a smart city using digital and intelligent technologies to serve and manage all areas of human society and drive economic activities and social life. Additionally, it could improve the convenience and standard of living people for Thai. Now, guys, this is the exact same thing that I was reading in all the other places. So,
because they got to do it all over the world.
And that's what I'm trying to get everybody to see. You know, just going down the line, let you know.
Country by country, they introduced saying the same thing.
Nothing's new.
Yeah, the same word and the same thing. Different language. It's all the thing that changed.
That's it.
They got to get you in the one world. Oh, yeah. And in the, in them, in them FEMA camps or whatever, it's going to be the penalty for transgression. It's going to be like the Noah High laws. The penalties for transgression of any Noah High law is decapitation. Mm. All Christians will be decapitated by axe or by guillotine. The seven Noah High, I mean, the seven laws are not to worship idols, not to curse God, to establish courts of justice, not to commit murder, not to commit adultery, bestiality or sexual immorality, not to steal, not to eat flesh torn from a living animal. And I think they said the Noahide laws is still in the government today. They never came off the books.
Mm.
And the reason, and the thing is, they consider, when it says not to worship an idol, like they consider Jesus to be an idol.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
Like, if you talk to, like, the people in Israel, even though those are not the true Jews, those are the so-called Jews that the Bible and the book of Revelation is talking about. He who says they are Jews but are not, but of the synagogue of Satan, the true Jews, the Israelites, has been sold to the four corners of the earth. They're right now, you know, we and the people in America and all the other countries that they've been spread out to, they are Negroid people. But
I don't believe that the people in the Bible are black. Well, how do you explain this? In the Life magazine from April 5th, 1968, you can look right here, the date is circled with the red, just to verify, this is an actual magazine from 1968. You will find that there are images of the children of Israel who served in slavery in Egypt. Here's another one right here. And here's another one. When you look at all of these images, what you'll find out and realize is that the children of Israel, aka the Jews or the Israelites or the Hebrews, they are all depicted as brown skin or black people in the Egyptian artifacts and archaeology. And just so that people know, this is also found in the Bible. The Bible gives the history of how the Egyptians had the children of Israel, the Israelites, in slavery. You can find this in Exodus 1 and 13, Exodus 1 and 14, and also throughout many various scriptures in the Bible that talks about the children of Israel being in Egypt, building Egypt up to a great nation, and coming out of Egypt by Moses. So now let's fast forward in time a couple hundred years to when the Israelites lived in their own land, the land called Israel. We're going to read an excerpt from this book called From Babylon to Timbuktu, A History of Ancient Black Races, Including the Black Hebrews. It's by Rudolph R. Windsor. This says, in the year 65 BC, the Roman armies under General Pompey captured Jerusalem. In 70 AD, General Vespasian and his son Titus put an end to the Jewish state with great slaughter. What we just read is an excerpt detailing an actual event in history where the Roman armies slaughtered and destroyed Jerusalem and its people in 70 AD, 70 years after the death of Christ. You can look this up online. It's often referred to as the Siege of Jerusalem or the Jewish Rebellion in 70 AD. The Roman Empire even created coins specifically to commemorate this event, when they took over the land of Israel and destroyed the Jews. If you go to Rome today, you would see this famous arch. This is called the Arch of Titus, named, of course, after Titus, General Titus, the son of Emperor Vespasian. He was the one in charge of the siege on Jerusalem, and they made this in his name. This is one of the images.
In a 1969 memorandum for the president, Henry A. Kissinger, the National Security Advisor, quotes, "The Igbos are the wandering Jews of West Africa, the gifted, aggressive, westernized, and at best envied and resented, but mostly despised by the mass of their neighbors in the Federation." On January 2022 of this year, the Jewish Rabbinate of the Obadiah Alliance have declared that the Igbos of Nigeria are descendants of ancient Israelites. According to them, the presence of Israelites along the Niger River had been known by Jewish authorities in the United Kingdom and other European nations for a while, and they support the idea that there was contact between European Jewish communities and the Igbo Israelites. All of the correspondence from the aforementioned rabbinic authorities addressed the Igbos as the brethren of the children of Israel. Accordingly, there is no doubt of their origins. Transatlantic slave ship manifests were filled with Igbo Israelites.
Then we come to a picture which the European travelers drew of the Ashanti King, you see? And the Ashanti King had on his chest a breastplate, all right? This is the Israelite breastplate spoken of in the Bible with the 12 tribes on it and the different stones on it, amen. They even go into detail about his dress and his head covering that the high priest would wear. None of the other people that was rowing the boats had a head covering. You see? The dude was dressed just like the high priest of the Old Testament, the Ashanti people. You see? And we can look at this and say, man, that's coincidence, but that's not coincidence. Especially when all the other facts lead us to believe, amen, that when Jerusalem fell, we didn't go to Europe. We went to Africa. And from Ghana, my friends, from that place in Ghana, is where the Gold Coast, the Ivory Coast, the Slave Coast was done. And a lot of y'all, when y'all take y'all DNA, y'all gonna come out, amen, like me and my wife, from this area, Ghana, amen, from those other kingdoms. Now, let me read one more thing. Stephen Jacobs, a European Jewish historian, says this. Black Americans now are in a position as never before in modern history to rediscover. Somebody say rediscover. And reclaim. Say reclaim. But here it is. If they wish. A heritage which has profoundly influenced world history and mankind. What heritage is that? The Hebrew heritage of Black Africa. Come on, give God some glory, amen.
You think that the people over in Israel, that those, that war-torn land, that those are the true Hebrew Israelites? That in 1948, that's with God gathering his people and making Israel a nation again? Because no, that ain't going to happen until the end of days when he gathers his people from the four corners of the earth. We're coming in and makes a multitude. Majority of them, they're all white. We got a problem here now. We got a problem, because you change the people, you most certainly change the message. You change all the prophecy. You change all the prophecy. That's like when people try to interpret Daniel and all these things, they fall off at 1948. Because you put them as the people of the book, such as the Christians. Put those Jews as the people of the book, as the ancient Israelites. I mean, they're calling Abraham a Jew for crying out loud. Oh, but so I'm going to cut this short. It's just interesting. I don't expect you all to hear me anyway. But you Israelites out there, you be very careful when you have a man in front of you that won't address who the true Hebrew Israelites are. They're up to something. And you know that those people over there in that land of Jerusalem right now, that's a synagogue of Satan being trodden down by the Gentiles. See, you got to know the book. And you change the people, you're changing all perspective and prophecy. And anybody that's supporting those people over there...
But if you talk to a guy that's in Israel right now that's supposed to be a Jew or whatever, he'll say, if you say you believe in Jesus, he'll be like, that's an idol. Mm. That's what they'll say.
Mm. They look at it like, oh, it's just a religion. That's how they look at it.
Nobody over God. Like, God never came to earth. Mm. Like, God, you know. So, just getting that out the way for you guys.
We got a smart cities in Arab world to foster sustainable socioeconomic growth. Now, Dr. Abu Zaki's smart cities focus on integration of knowledge and technology, fostering education and scientific research, and streamlining the educational process to make learning opportunities accessible for everyone. Now, they say there are significant advancements in the Arab world's efforts to enhance the concepts of smart cities in the region, which plays a major role in fostering economic and social growth while elevating the quality of life for societies, according to Dr. Nidal Abu Zaki, the founder and managing director of Orient Planet Group. He says, quote unquote, smart cities takes a proactive approach to resource management and economic infrastructure improvement. They prioritize integration of knowledge and technology, foster education and scientific research, and facilitate a more accessible learning process. This inclusivity extends through online platforms, blended learning techniques, and the incorporation of augmented reality, which is AR, and audiovisual elements in education. Therefore, these efforts contribute significantly to the advancement of emerging sectors such as technology, digital transformation, renewable energy, and innovation. So this is a smart cities expo in Arab world that they are putting together. That is happening. And again, the goal here was just to get you all to see on where they are doing these at. It's not just in one place, but it's in all around the world. So everyone can become on one agenda. Now, there's also something called the transformative impact of top technology trends in urban development. Now, this is what they want to tell you all, the role that everything will play. For example, AI. Now, AI will play the role in urban governance. It says artificial intelligence has emerged as a game changer in urban governance, offering innovative solutions to long-standing challenges. They says AI enables cities to optimize resource allocation, enhance public safety, and streamline administrative process. Now they says the Internet of Things, which is called IoT, is for connectivity. Now, the Internet of Things is fostering unparalleled connectivity by interlinking devices, infrastructure, and citizens. I repeat, the Internet of Things is fostering unparalleled connectivity by interlinking devices, infrastructure, and citizens. From smart streetlights that adjust brightness based on activity to waste management systems that alert authorities when bins are full, IoT is creating a seamless connected urban ecosystem. This connectivity not only enhances the quality of life for residents, but also enables efficient resource utilization and real-time monitoring of city functions. Blockchain for transparent governance. Blockchain's technology is revolutionizing transparency and accountability in urban governance by providing A decentralized ledger blockchain ensures the integrity of public records and transactions. Now, the far-reaching implications extend to issues like property management, identity verification, fostering trust between citizens and government, 5G technology, and enhanced connectivity. Now, the advent of 5G technology is a cornerstone for the development of smart cities. With ultra-fast and low-latency connectivity, 5G enables the seamless operation of IoT devices, autonomous vehicles, and augmented reality applications. Moreover, this is not only enhances the overall efficiency of urban services, but also opens up new possibilities for innovation for various sectors. Lastly, we got renewable energy integration, autonomous vehicles, and smart transportation and cybersecurity for protecting urban infrastructure. Now, they say as cities become more reliant on interconnected technologies, the need for robust cybersecurity measures becomes paramount in protecting critical infrastructure and sensitive data. And they also say the rise of autonomous vehicles is transforming the landscape of urban transportation, with self-driving cars to smart public transportation systems. And sustainability is a key consideration in the development of smart cities, and the integration of renewable energy sources is a crucial aspect. Through solar panels, wind turbines, and other renewable energy technologies seamlessly integrated into urban infrastructure, cities can reduce carbon footprints and ensure a more sustainable energy future. So I'm just going to stop right there with all the smart stuff. But the goal overall was just to get you all to see there are real life plans being made as we speak. Panels, people all around the world.
Yesterday's speech that my real specialty is artificial intelligence and robotics and redefining what human beings will be in the future. And a lot of people find this scary. I don't want to be redefined. I don't like this idea, something that's beyond my control. The very sense of self is going to be altered. Well, you're actually under a lot of control systems, and you have been since birth. So I was talking a little bit about mind control in particular, and something that I worked on that I'm not proud of, but it's called the Voice of God weapon. So there are four different techniques and technologies that can pipe voices into an individual's head. And once you can do that, you can control them using neuro-linguistic programming techniques. You're rewiring their thought processes and brains. And so this gets into what's called offensive information warfare. And they used it, I believe, in the Gulf War to tell the enemy at that time, lay down your guns, this is Allah. And it worked pretty well, because hearing voices which have no direction or sound, you have to assume that it's some spiritual entity. So it works pretty well. And then
there will come a point where no job is needed. You can have a job if you want to have a job for sort of personal satisfaction, but the AI will be able to do everything. So I don't know if that makes people comfortable or uncomfortable. You know, that's why I say if you wish for a magic genie, that gives you any wishes you want. And there's a limit. You don't have this three wish limit nonsense. You just have many as many wishes as you want. It's both good and bad.
Now, it even gets worse. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is continuing its global push to support its so-called government-backed digital ID programs, and this time setting its sight on Kenya, where it will advise the government on that country's Maisha Naba digital ID initiative that is currently under development. So, according to a Kenyan news agency, Gates' role is assisting the Kenyan government in its development, and the rollout of Maisha Naba was announced after a recent series of the closed-door meetings with Kenyan President William Ruto. According to biometric update, MISHA number is supposedly expected to address different challenges, such as identifying and authenticating citizens, safeguarding primary registration documents such as birth certificates and national identity cards, and improving the management of the social programs and government operations. The project has been met with skepticism in some parts of the country. Rights groups have also been expressing concern over the possibility of discrimination and the erosion of privacy. But listen, I just told you in the very nice way. Now, let me just put it blatantly to you. The program targets the birth of new babies. So once you have your baby, before your baby leaves the hospital, you no longer get a paper birth certificate, but then you get a digital one that is somehow implanted somewhere on somebody's body. Think.
This is in the USA. Check it out. Wait for it. Oh, no, it's not. Alipay. Check it out in the USA. Alipay.
How the U.S. would be divided in the event of an emergency, if we can pull that out there. There it is. So this is how the U.S. will be divided into districts. You see 10 of them there. This is according to the National Emergency Center Establishment. Can you describe what this map is? What exactly does that mean? I mean, it doesn't really make sense in terms of states as we know them. What is this classification system? Sure. What are the purposes?
It doesn't look like the map that you and I saw in elementary school.
Not at all.
Effectively, the U.S. has been cordoned off into these different districts. And so these new emergency centers will be spread out throughout the United States in most of these eventually. And it gives FEMA and the Department of Homeland Security jurisdiction over what goes on in these places during a time of emergency.
Okay, I want to go into what, because this act does make some specific examples, some exclusions, set some limitations, I should say. So the National Emergency Center Establishment Act, what it does not do, it does not authorize any federal officer or employee to force an individual to enter a national emergency center or prevent an individual from leaving a national emergency center. So, Bob, it looks to me like there are some safeguards there. If you don't like it, you can leave.
Well, I'd like to think so. And this was actually one of the other things that was changed in this new version of the bill. They added this. But if you read what they're saying, you know, federal officer or federal employee, that doesn't cover members of the military. And since these are going to be installed in decommissioned and existing military bases, you're going to have people from the military there. So I would think they will have people, namely in the military, who would be able to force people to stay there or prevent them from leaving if that is their what they want to do.
Not a controversial bill resurfacing in Congress. The FEMA camp bill allows the government to run at least 6 military installations when a national emergency is declared. These emergency centers would be run by FEMA under the command of the Secretary of Homeland Security. So this legislation is meant to be enacted in the event of an emergency. But what exactly does that mean? What is the definition of emergency, especially when it comes to this legislation? When would it be enacted?
Sure. We have to go back to 1988 to the Stafford Act bill to actually...
Time-lapse cameras were used in a standard first-grade classroom, and several hyperactive children may be noted, especially the boy in the immediate foreground. 90 days after, the regular cool white fluorescent tubes were replaced with the new type full-spectrum fluorescent tubes with radiation shields, there was a marked improvement noted. And the extremely hyperactive boy has voluntarily moved up to the front row. He raises his hand for recognition and is now up at the blackboard taking part in classroom activities. Prior to the time that this new lighting was installed, this particular boy had an extreme learning disability problem, but quickly learned to read within 90 days after the new lights were installed. There was further noted a general average improvement in both the behavior and academic achievement of the entire class. There are, however, other factors that must also be considered. The implications of the biological effects of light and radiation, as observed through time-lapse photography, are obvious.
People all around the world coming together strictly, same laws in place, the same goal in place for all citizens and for cities. And basically to become a surveillance city, a smart city, just like China is. And that's why I feel like you have all of these cities. Now you got to pay to get into, it has been approved that you have to pay to get into the Manhattan District of New York, the Central Business District, for the toll fees. The Bay Area in California, now you have to pay toll fees in their area, in the city as well. I just read something in Memphis and Philadelphia where they want to set up this infrastructure for smart streetlights and all of that. So it's just all coming slowly for surely into play. Like, everything is like being on the same accord. Yeah. In regards to that, I think only this, I only have a few more topics and that's it. You have anything before I... And also, all of this is going on. You have Google, Amazon, Snap. All these companies are doing major layoffs, but this should be the biggest employment in history, considering the fact of how smart the world is going. This is when they should be hiring the people, not getting rid of the people. This should be jobs for everyone. Google should not be laying off people. Amazon should not be laying off people. Well,
Amazon laid off, looked like, yeah, the whole shit.
Out of we're in a new digital era, and these are digital companies, and they're doing the most layoffs. So don't play into everything that you just see and hear about, saying, oh, you know, like, no, it's stuff being made. Also in Britain, they're told to stock up on torches and candles in case of power cuts. So they say Britain's deputy prime minister Oliver Dowden has warned the public they should buy candles, torches, and battery powered radios in the event of a crisis cutting power supplies. Now this comes at a time, guys, we are now entering winter. Everything is going smart. They're trying to get away from fossil fuel energy. We have different wars going on in various parts of the world. And he puts out saying, stock up on battery. Like, he's telling the people what to get prepared for without really saying it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He don't want to cause panic.
Basically, that's it.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to cause panic. Also, we have the white lung syndrome going around. So in China, there is a breakout of pneumonia. Over here, they're calling it the white lung syndrome. They said, what is white lung syndrome? White lung syndrome is, they say it's not an actual medical term. Some health officials gave the name to a spike of pediatric pneumonia in Ohio. So in Ohio and Massachusetts and some other places over here in the U.S., they are starting to see spikes of the pneumonia. Now, remember in Ohio, they had that big train wreck with a big chemical spill. They said earlier this week, the Warren County Health District announced that 142 cases of pediatric pneumonia were reported there since August. They say pneumonia shows up on x-rays as a whitening of the lungs, which is where the term white lung comes from. So this is starting to happen, starting to be a breakout of pneumonia and white lung syndrome. They say it is over in China as well.
I don't know if we have the clip, but it's, you know, the Abrahamic family house in United Arab Emirates, where it has a church for the Catholics, a synagogue, and a mosque.
Yeah.
On Speaker Corner, I seen, I think it was like a Ashkenazi Jew debating, I think he was a rabbi, debating a Muslim. And it seemed like they was having a debate, but the Ashkenazi Jew, which is a rabbi, he was agreeing with the Muslim on his faith. And he was like, he believed that Allah, you know, he believed that Muhammad was a prophet of God, and he wasn't to the Israelites. I mean, he wasn't to the the Jews, but he was for you guys. He was sent by God. He said he believes he was sent by God, and he was for you guys. See, that's the conversation that they were having. Like, that's how they formed the Abrahamic house. It was on an agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are in agreement on their faith. Like, you know, because the Muslims, they believe that, you know, God never came. You know, they believe that God is Allah. It's, mm-hmm. it's Jesus is not Allah. Jesus was just a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And even though the Israelite, I mean, the Ashkenazi Jews, they don't believe that, you know, Jesus was a prophet. They think he was just some kind of, you know, rebel or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But they do believe, he was basically saying, you know, a rabbi wouldn't say that we agree, you know, that God sends different prophets to different countries.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so he was like, you know, he believed that Muhammad, you know, was for you guys and he agreed with your faith type stuff.
Mm.
So basically it's no disagreement. He was like, I'm sitting here on behalf of the Jewish community to say that's the conversation that they had to form the Abrahamic house. And that was just mind blowing to me.
So it's like they're putting it out there that they're coming into agreement and saying like, hey, this is what the house is going to do.
Yeah.
You're going to, he's this and I'm that, but look how we just agreed. You can do your faith. I can do my faith.
We disagree with those Christians.
Mm-hmm. I thought Christianity was going to be in the Abrahamic house though.
Catholics.
Oh.
Catholics.
And they call Catholics or, you know, they claim that Catholics are Christian, but no, they worship Mary though.
Yeah. They worship Mary.
Yeah.
You know. They got
idols. But during this time, what I can say, I'm loving the fact that we have young athletes coming out and like mentioning Jesus, saying, now I don't know if they're following Jesus.
All the other stuff is just part of it. It's part of the plan. It's been a long journey. God just been blessing me so much. It's all God. Like, I put the work in. And let me stop you right. It ain't even me. Like, y'all see me on Sundays and you see what I'm able to do on the field, but it's God, man. That's really what it is. Yeah, man. It's just God. Honestly, like I'm just amazed by how much grace and mercy God gives me and how he just keeps blessing me, because, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm undeserving of how much he blesses me, so.
For me, I mean, it's a lot of prayer, a lot of just knowing that, man, God wouldn't put anything on me that I can't handle. I don't deserve his grace and his mercy, but he still gives it to me, and I love him for that, because, I mean, it's not about me, it's about him and his glory, so. I think that's where it comes from. I think God made me like that. I've been through a lot, not only in football, but things that made me just kind of chill during when everything's going crazy. And I thank God for putting that on me, because that's something that.
And if they are, great. But they are saying that a couple football players, a couple softball players, basketball players. This is a basketball player. I believe I have the clip. He came out with a Christian shoe. I've never really seen that when I was a child in sports. I never really heard Michael Jordan or Scottie Pippen or Allen Iverson or Shaq, anybody speak on Jesus. But I'm hearing more of that now from the athletes, which is great. I think it's great. Daddy Yankee came out over the past couple days ago and admitted that he's given his life to Christ. And so
Amen.
That is great. You know, and he's pretty big in reggaeton, one of the biggest. And also,
but also as a Christian, just remember that it's not by speech, but it's by actions.
You have to.
It's not the hearers of the word, but it's the doers of the word. So here, his mouth should be on mute. You should be watching his actions. His mouth should be on mute. Treat him like, you know, you hear what he said about Jesus. Okay, amen. After that, his mouth should be on mute. Now you're watching your actions.
In other words, if you're claiming that you've given your life to Christ or you're a follower of Christ, I shouldn't catch you in the club smoking, drinking, different women, cursing, adult, Jesus. You know, I shouldn't see you, you know.
Or like, you're married, because we know the devil, if you claim in Jesus' name, the devil's going to tempt you. Or you married?
Yeah.
Or you living in fornication? Oh, man, you got a girlfriend. Okay, y'all just shacking up. So you're saying you're a Christian, but if you was to die today, you'd be in hell. So you're not a Christian yet. Devil still has control over you, just like Magneto, like the devil had control over Wolverine.
Mm.
You know, that sin is still there. So you're on your way. You're on that broad path. We hear you. So therefore, you have an opportunity. You're coming this way, Lord willing. You coming this way. If God, you know, will grant you mercy, you know, allow you to live until you're able to get married. But if you don't see that sense of urgency to get married, when I seen, I knew that Christ was real, and I prayed on God. I like, you know, is anything, thing in my heart that I'm doing in my life, reveal it to me so I can correct it. Cause I want to, you know, I want to be on your good side. I want to get into the kingdom of God. There you know? So he allowed me to see it was fornication, you know. A demon came in my dream. Demon came, sat on my bed, looked back at me. My stuff raised up, and I raised off the bed. So that showed me that the devil still had control over me because of my willful sinning. You know, but that's when I was first coming into Christ. Once I realized that, I told my wife, we got to get married immediately. So if you don't see that fear for God in a person that's professing himself to be a Christian, then I would seriously doubt if that man is a Christian. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the Almighty God. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear has a look. You need to see that fear. He needs to be talking about, I need to get married. You know, the same time he mentioned Jesus, he read the Bible. Okay, you need to be hearing. I need to get married. You shouldn't hear cussing coming out of his mouth.
And I also, not to flip the script, but I also want to put blame on the pastors too. You all need, thank you for the ones who are speaking on the word, but for the ones who aren't, you need to be preaching and teaching on things that Des just mentioned. There's no way that, you know, we are ultimately, we're all fighting for eternal spot in the kingdom. That's it.
Yeah.
We are fighting for a spot, and that is strongly important. So if we're fighting for a spot in the kingdom, let us know the things that we shouldn't be doing in order to get into the kingdom. Is that vital? And pastors aren't preaching. Well, I'm not saying all of them, but majority of the pastors are not preaching on sin. They're not preach on the stuff that's going to save a life. You all are in charge of the flock. Stop being too nice.
Some of them are living in willful sin. I just seen a pastor that was he got on OnlyFans with another man and did a video. It came out, you know, and then another pastor came, you know, on homosexuality. Another pastor came out and said he had a, you know, he was in front of his church and said, you know, when I did one of those things called the sneaky link with a man.
Yeah, the pastor did a sneaky link with a man.
And they allowed this man to continue to be up there preaching. They still came to his church. He said a little punchline after that. They said, amen. We have truly fallen. We are truly, some of us are truly blind.
Mm.
You know, the Bible says, although we do go at pastors, and you do supposed to be a leader of the flock. You do supposed to lead people to Christ. But the people in the congregation, you guys are supposed to study to show yourself approved. The words of God should be just that, the words of God. And if you don't see that pastor, if you can't look in them scriptures and that pastor is not showing you what you reading, is he's not living a life according to what you're reading, that should not be your pastor. You should not be saying no amen. You should not be in there with no praying hands, because that is not a place for God, but that is a place for the devil. If a man is led by his finance, he led by his finance. If you're always preaching on sowing seeds, if you're always telling you to come up here, I need $1,000, that should show you his God. The devil is giving up God. When God gives you over to that reprobated mind, they will do things to show you that they're not a Christian. They will do things in their character, the way they're preaching that word. If they're staying off of sin, they don't care about where you spend your eternal soul. You know,
and the only how we would know is if we're in the word of God, knowing, like you said, studying to show ourselves approved. Like, is this pastor a follower of Christ?
Yeah. But if you ain't studying, man, hey, man, I'll tell you something about Moses and the Israelites in the wilderness every day. And we just get on.
Facts.
You know, we'll just get on. I get up there and preach.
And that's why the
minutes.
Congregation is not growing. That's why they're not ministering. Yeah. That's the reason why.
That's why they don't go to the streets.
Well, like you said, I can't blame it on the pastor, but people, and he's right. We got to start, I'm including myself in it. We have to read the word for ourselves. Get in the Bible. Do research. And
there's a lot of Sunday Christians up in there, man. They ain't trying to hold nobody. They feel they want to, as long as pastors ain't preaching on it, they don't receive no cuts, so they can go home and blow their bleezy.
Remember the pastor
have Ed come over about 2 in the morning.
And remember the pastor was divvying up the money, giving him a nice cut. The guy said, I thought I was supposed to get, I think he gave the guy $800. He wanted more.
Listen to me. Let me
Okay, one more before we get out of here. Vladimir Putin is to set to test the world's largest ballistic missile by launching it over the South Pole. It is called the Satan II. They said it's an unstoppable doomsday weapon that travels at 15,888 miles per hour. The massive missile weighs about 208 tons and is as big as a 14-story tower block. That's all I got.
Okay. At 1 Corinthians 6 verses 9 to 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?
Well, now what he's saying is that this is what...
The unrighteous, the people that are in willful sin, all have sinned and fallen short. Amen. God will forgive you for a slip up, but not a lifestyle. These are people that's living a lifestyle of disobedience to God. So he said, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators. Mm. People that's lived shacking up, living lifestyle, you want to fornicate? Idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, nor sodomites. You're going in the rectum, you like booty. Nor thieves, nor covetous. You love somebody's house, you want somebody's wife. Oh, man, he come over, his wife looking good. Look at it. You want his money, you want his watches, his jewelry, you want his you coveting that man's stuff. Nor covetous.
I probably shouldn't say it. But because they can do that with their wife, right?
What do you mean?
The back door.
No, you can't go in there. No, for what? That ain't what the guy made them for. That's supposed to be...
I'm sure it's some Christian man out here. To come out. I'm sure it's Christian men and women out here doing that.
You're a sodomite. Nor drunkards. You're getting drunk. Revilers, extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. So these people will not. Revelation 21 verse 8. But the cowardly, the people that's afraid to stand on the words of God. When you seen Kirk Franklin, when he was asked, what is your views on homosexuality?
What is your views on homosexuality? Homosexuals getting married, yeah.
Homosexuals getting married. And he was saying, he was smoothing over it. He was cowardly. He wasn't standing on.
And he also
of God.
Said that Christians were becoming like the world police. World it's police. Not that. Yeah. It's just when you become a follower of Christ, you have to say what Christ thinks. What he says you should do when it comes down to something.
He
like
gave
that.
What he thought, mm-hmm. and you know what he.
Kirk wanted to give his own opinion
because he, you know, he's in the industry. He wanted to
and
get
he's making
money.
Money. Yeah, fame and
so,
money.
So these are the cowardly. So, but maybe he's not a coward. Maybe he just, you know, that's, he don't. He
or
don't,
maybe that's how he feels. Maybe he don't care no more.
He don't believe in the Lord like that. You know, he don't. The words of God is not God in his life. So he's going to give, he's God of his life. So that's when they do that, when they get their own opinion about something that's found in the Bible, that means that they're gods of their own life. They're controlling that. The unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars should have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And we're about to get out of here.
Yeah. And to add on, it's like this is we're actually witnessing, because I don't believe, I was young when Kirk Franklin first came out versus any other Christian or gospel artist. I just don't want to say Kirk Franklin. But, you know, in the Bible, it talks about, you know, how it showed how, you know, men started off in Christ and how they begin to lose themselves. And now we are witnessing, like, people that are put on the pedestal that claim to be followers of Christ lose themselves in the world. Yeah. You know what I mean? Some come back to it, come back to Christ, and then some just get lost out there. And we're actually witnessing that. And that's sad, because these are the people that have the camera and the mic in front of them. And that's when it counts. What are you going to tell the thousands or millions of people that's watching you when it gets hot? How do you feel about this subject? Yeah. And you're going to say your own opinion versus what God will tell, would want you to say, to save a soul from the lake of fire.
Yeah. This is the dream of the week. Acts 2:17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. God bless y'all.
Love, peace.
Good morning, everyone. And seeing a lot of like posts about people talking about their visions and their dreams that the Lord has sent them. And like, I just feel like I really need to share mine. Because like all the natural disasters and all the signs that Jesus is coming back, I at least tell as much people as I can about what God had shared with me. I had a dream, and it was a few years ago, actually. And it was me going up to heaven, and usually, you know, sometimes God talks to me in dreams and sometimes in visions. This time it was a dream. We were in heaven, and it was beautiful. It was like pink, like the ocean was pink and like clear, beautiful water. It's like an elephant on the sand. Like, it was just really pretty. Jesus was escorting people out of heaven because they were arguing, they were fighting. And the Lord told me, tell everyone that if they are arguing and fighting, that they will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And like, I feel incredibly guilty that I've only told like maybe like a few people ever since I've had that dream. And I feel like, wow, how it's pretty messed up that God left me responsible to say something. And I always just kind of kept it inside. And now that, you know, all these things are happening, I feel like it's my job to at least put it out there, even if it's just on TikTok with my, you know, not, I don't have a lot of followers, but I at least would love to reach at least one person. If, you know, God doesn't allow people who argue and fight in heaven. Now, I know that, you know, no one's perfect and no one perfect goes into heaven, but I think it's just important that as Christians and as followers, that we fix our hearts on that. And obviously, like, I can't even, like, I've argued with people. I'm not perfect. It's not my job to condemn anybody by all means. I think it's just something that God told me to share, since, like, I have the gift to hear him, to see him, and to meet with him and talk with him. He tells me these things, these messages, you know. And like I said, we're not all perfect, but it's something that, you know, we need to take into consideration, especially on days like these.